I think when you look back at the history of intelligence and you look at things like the Cuban Missile Crisis or arms negotiations with the Soviets 30 or 40 years ago, you looked at what we would call strategic intelligence. That is understanding things like the missile strike capability of a country like the Soviet Union. If you look at where we are today, you might be looking at the composition of a backpack bomb in London, for example, to help explain to Chicago or Los Angeles or Miami what kind of chemicals to look for in the event they have the same kind of problem in their city. So you've gone from strategic intelligence to little bits and pieces that might help a police chief or a homeland security advisor in an American city.
How useful is this material in the United States? And I'm saying, yes, there's a lot of it out there. How are they making use of it?
I think there's a number of uses that you could have for this. The first is tactical threat intelligence. If you have a detainee, for example, who talks about a threat to banks, you want to be able to talk to banks about what you know and what the detainee is saying. And you also have things that I would call sort of preventive intelligence. If you watch what's happening with the development of explosive devices in countries like, let's say, Indonesia or the Philippines or Pakistan, you want to tell folks, we haven't seen this here, but if you want to understand the kinds of things that terrorists are using, here's a quick primer on what's going on in the world of terrorism. So it goes everywhere from tactical threat that may be based on almost real-time intelligence information to sort of preventive intelligence. It just helps someone in a U.S. city with situational awareness, with understanding what's going on out in the world and trying to create preventive measures to stop it from happening in U.S. city.
What's the backbone for developing this kind of intelligence? Where does it come from? How do you gather this material?
I think the backbone is not only material, that is looking for information from classic intelligence methods and ensuring that you disseminate it to new customers, customers like police chiefs or sheriffs or homeland security advisors. But it's also a mindset that says our responsibility is not only serving the State Department or the Defense Department or the White House. It's looking for not just high-end threat information, but just bits and pieces, tiny bits and pieces and plots overseas that might be relevant to someone operating in a U.S. city. Again, not because there's a threat to a U.S. city, but because there are people who are out there responsible for trying to prevent things from happening. So it's not just a collection of the information. It's a mindset that says, let me look out for these kinds of things, and let me understand how somebody in the U.S. city needs to respond so I can package the information appropriately. Kind of thing you wouldn't have seen 30 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago.
Okay, and let's go back to last Christmas, the Christmas Day situation. There was some significant information, as I understand it, out there before Farouk Abdul-Muttalib boarded that plane that had taken shape. His father had gone and mentioned some concerns about him. There apparently were some name issues or problems, some recognition in terms of who he was. So how does that factor in this kind of intelligence, and does it take a different kind of individual with a different kind of thought process to look at these, I guess, disparate pieces of material, put them together, or is this a technology-driven thing?
I think there's a couple of factors in the case you mentioned. I'm not certain it takes a different kind of individual. It takes a different kind of intelligence, that is not just thinking about how the threat of terrorism is evolving, but individuals who are charged in the intelligence community solely with the responsibility of looking for people like him and saying, hey, if somebody walks in that case, Nigeria, have we matched up that information with things we might have seen this year or last year or 5 years ago out of Nigeria, out of Yemen? So the first is, how do you focus analysts who work on intelligence? The second is, how do you think about that intelligence once you acquire it? In that case, for example, you might not have seen many cases years ago where you had to immediately turn around a piece of high-impact threat intelligence based on technical or human source collection to somebody in Detroit, Michigan. But we're in an age now where that information, had it been pieced together, would have immediately been shared with the local FBI and with the police in ways that are both faster and far broader in terms of dissemination than we would have thought of years ago.
Phil Mudd is a senior fellow at the New America Foundation. J.J. Green, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.